Lord, thank you, Lord. Wednesday evening, 4:13:22. No nonsense. Look at the book of Revelation. The Lord said to revisit the 1260 days, 1335 days that we looked at a few weeks ago. So this, the title of this is the day year rule. Day year rule. All right, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 12. Okay, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Okay, when I was reading this passage, the verses 11 and 12 right there, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, I couldn't find the teaching that I did. I looked on my files. I looked everywhere, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I did with it. But anyway, the Lord had spoke this to me. He said that the 1290 days and the 1335 days were not days but years. Right? All right, I couldn't find the farmer notes, so I just had to start from scratch today. I said, okay, Lord, you gotta help me with this. I want to say this, the futurism doctrine has so caused the church to take the wrong road for the most part in the interpretation of end time events. Daniel, like John, wrote down what they saw. Daniel had to seal his, but John was to send them to the seven, was to send it to the seven churches. So Daniel 12:9 right here, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Okay, then Revelation 5, 1 through 14, it talks about the unsealing. We've read it many times. Right here. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. I believe this is Daniel's book that was sealed. And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, were able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and in loosed the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All right. I guess I'll read the rest of it. Might as well. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea or all that are in them, be heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So it appears here that until Jesus died on the cross, that this could not be unsealed, right? Because that's kind of what, well, let's go back to Daniel. It's kind of what he's talking about here, about Messiah being cut off. Let me go look at that. Well, he said here it had to be sealed up until the time of the end. All right. And from that time that the daily sacrifice should be taken away and the abomination that make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and come to the 1,335 days. All right. Okay. This is the day year rule. This is Ezekiel chapter 4. Really, it's in scripture more than I thought. Ezekiel 4:1. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray it upon the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it. You know, I talked to you this about being spiritual mapping, Ezekiel. Lay siege against it and build a fort against it and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it and set battery rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city and set thy face against it and it shall be besieged and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. I have to tell y'all something right quick before I go on. Madison sent me a text today, or it's from TikTok. It's a young black girl, or she's probably 20s. She went to Disneyland. She got a lot of criticism. She went to Disneyland, and the Lord had her anoint all these places. And ever since that happened, she blessed Disneyland. They've been uncovering all their stuff and all they're doing. It's just busting wide open. She was talking about the power. She said, you don't necessarily have to just do hard warfare all the time. She said, just that little bit right there. And then they showed up, all the parents showing up out in front of Disney, protesting Disney. It's busting wide open. They're calling out them out for pedophilia and all the junk they've been doing. God's bringing it down because this young woman did what he said, went and anointed. She said, I call the Holy Spirit to come into Disney and to do his work and all this stuff. It just refreshed me. I thought, that's awesome, especially a young person. And Madison was impressed by it. It impressed me. That's what Ezekiel's doing here. God's having to build certain things, do certain things. That's kind of a battle plan. Okay. Lie thou also upon thy left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it according to the number of the days. Isn't that what this young girl did? that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. She didn't go in and curse Disney. She went in and sent the Holy Spirit in. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I've appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arms shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. Behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to the other till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. So he was doing days, probably 4 years here. Right here. And thou shalt accomplish them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Thank God he didn't have to do it. Literally, a year. Okay. All right, I want to read you an article here. It was very enlightening to me. This is called The Christian Trumpet Sounding. This is the 1260 days of Daniel, and the saints are worn out. This comes from a book, but this is just an article from that book. All right. As established in chapter 1 of this treaty, the saints that are persecuted by the little horn, that's Daniel 7:25, composed the church who reigns with Christ. Further, it was proven this 1260-day persecution must occur before the Great Tribulation and not be part of that tribulation. These persecuted saints are not the tribulation saints. Now he goes into who these tribulation saints are, not the end-day tribulation saints, but whatever the timetable from the years that the angel spoke to Daniel. What and when is this 1260-day period? The Bible is its own interpreter. That is, the Lord has put into the Bible certain rules for interpreting symbols, parables, time prophecies, etc. If we ignore these basic scriptural rules, then our understanding of scriptures will be confused. The scriptural key for interpreting time prophecy is found in Ezekiel 4, 1 through 8. A 390-day period is prophesied and a key is also provided. I've appointed thee each day for a year. By this divinely provided rule of interpretation, 390 days equals 390 years, based on this day equals a year key revealed in Ezekiel. All readily agree that in the 70 weeks prophecy, Daniel 9:24, the 70 weeks refer to 490 years and not 490 literal days. 70 weeks times 7 days, 490 days / years. Why then do some make an exception to the 1260 days of Daniel and Revelation and insist on a literal period of 1260 days? According to the Lord's rule of a day for a year, this period would be 1260 years. When did it begin? How did it end? As already proven, AD 539 marked an important prophetic date when the last of the three horns, the civil powers, stand in the way of the Pope of Rome, being recognized as the civil ruler of the Roman Empire, was removed. That's Daniel 7:8. It was plucked up, the horn. What followed was 1260 years of unrelenting, pitiless, bloody persecution of so-called heretics. You know, back when I started doing these dives, some of the first things I came across was the cruelty of the Roman Catholic Church and the tyranny of the popes and the blood. And how if you didn't conform to what they wanted you to do. A lot of these, I read, there's another one I didn't even bring in here because I don't have time to do it all. But it goes back and it tells about all the years and all the sometimes millions of people that were slain because they were Christians and they were under the papacy and they were told, you will believe this way and there's no tolerance. Does it sound like today? It's because it's the false prophet, see. Then it was that popes, councils, theologians, kings, crusaders, and inquisitors combined their fetish powers to exterminate every opponent. This persecution reached its ultimate in the Holy Inquisition. You know, you hear people say, well, what is this, the Holy Inquisition? They don't know what they're talking about. Established by Pope Innocent III in A.D. 1204, it was applied with unimaginable cruelty in every country. Whole villages and towns were indiscriminately slaughtered on a theory that God will know his own. Tens of thousands were burned alive at the stake, while countless others were subjected to torture by the most hideous inventions. The following history, which can be verified by numerous records, is but a glimpse into the nightmare of the Dark Ages. See, there's not just been persecution now, till right now. This has been going on for many thousands of years. Among bloody rulers, bloody popes. Pope Innocent III proclaimed a crusade against the Albigenses or something like that, and offered to all who would engage in it the pardon of all sins and an immediate passport to heaven without passing through purgatory. The city of Béziers was stormed and taken in 1209, and the citizens, without regard for age or sex, perished by the sword to the number of 60,000. La Vierre was besieged in 1211. The citizens were without discrimination put to death, 400 being burned alive. The flourishing country of Languedoc was devastated, its cities burned, and its inhabitants swept away by fire and sword. It is estimated that 100,000 of these Albigenses fell in one day. All this rioting and blood and villainy was done in the name of religion, professedly for the glory of God, but really to uphold Antichrist, sitting in the temple of God, the church, showing himself that he is a God. The clergy thanked God for the work of destruction, and a hymn of praise was sung for the glorious victory of La Vierre. But it would be a great mistake to suppose that the crusades against whole communities were the only persecutions. The quiet, steady crushing of individuals in the aggregate, also numbering thousands all over papacy's wide domain, ground steadily on year after year, decade after decade, century after century, wearing out the saints of the Most High. See, we look at the scriptures and we see it applies to us today, but we don't think about the past 6,000 years and everything that's gone on. Charles V, Emperor of Germany and King of Spain and the Netherlands, persecuted the friends of the Reformation throughout his extensive dominions. Paolo reckons the number who in the Netherlands were executed on account of their religion at 50,000. And Grotius gives the list of the Belgic martyrs at 100,000. Charles, with his dying breath, exhorted his son, Philip II, to carry on to completion the work of persecution and extermination of heresy which he had begun. That's the people of the day. That's way how they believe. You either believe our way or there is no, you know, you're a heretic. They call us now domestic terrorists. Francis and Henry, the French kings, followed the example of Charles and Philip. The massacres of Marindal, Orange, and Paris are forcible illustrations of their zeal in the cause of Antichrist. Roman Catholic historians admit that in compliance with a commission approved by the French Parliament in Marindal, thousands, including men and women and children, were massacred. 24 towns were ruined and countrysides left waste and desolate. 500 women, when thrown into a barn, set on fire. When any leaped from the windows, they were received on the points of spears. Women were violated and children were murdered in the sight of their parents. Some were dashed over precipices and others dragged naked through the streets. In the massacre of Orange in A.D. 1562, the Italian army sent by Pope Pius IV was commanded to slay men, women, and children. The defenseless heretics were slain with the sword. That's in Hebrews, slain with the sword. Precipitated from rocks, hanged, roasted over slow fires, and exposed to shame and torture of every description. I used to have Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know what happened to it, but it had heinous ways of how they tortured Christians and what they did to them. The massacre of the Huguenots in Paris on St. Bartholomew's Day in 1572 is stigmatized even by Catholic historians as ferocious cruelty. Without a parallel in any antiquity, the carnival of death lasted 7 days. The city flooded with human blood, and the same scenes were accordingly enacted in nearly all the surrounding provinces. Estimates of number slain vary from 25,000 to 70,000. For this signal victory, a medal was struck by the king in memory of the massacre, bearing the inscription, "The Slaughter of the Huguenots, 1572. The other side presented the raised figure of Pope Gregory XIII. In 1641, Antichrist proclaimed a war of religion in Ireland and called on the people to massacre the Protestants by every means in their power. Protestant blood flowed freely throughout Ireland. Houses were reduced to ashes. Towns and villages were almost destroyed. Thousands died of cold and hunger while endeavoring to migrate to other lands. In the province of Ulster alone, over 154,000 Protestants were either massacred or expelled from Ireland. The total number of deaths directly or indirectly accountable to the so-called Holy Inquisition is incalculable due to the limitations of recorded history. However, if we tally the many historic accounts, we can attribute several million deaths to papacy down through the centuries." This is the Antichrist's reign. He's been reigning with a tyranny all through the ages, not just in our day. When dealing with such numbers, the enormity of human suffering also becomes incomprehensible. After a point, figures and details begin to dull the mind of its sensitivity. But perhaps the Apostle Paul succeeded in encapsulating the enormity of the diabolical acts of the papacy by the title, "The Man of Sin." That system has proved itself capable of escalating astronomically every sin conceivable to man. I mean, it's like it's risen up all through history. Papacy persecuting broken power. This study, relentlessly crushing of whole communities as well as individuals over many centuries, lasted until the papacy's persecuting power was broken by Napoleon imprisoning the Pope in 1799. Pius VI died in prison. The historian of Napoleon's wars, describing the capture of Toledo by his army, discussed the opening of the Inquisition prison. Graves seemed to open and pale figures like ghosts issued from dungeons which emitted a sepulchral odor. Many of them were reduced to cripples. They'd been in prison so long, I guess. The number of machines for torture thrilled even men inured to the battlefield with horror. In a recess in a subterranean vault stood a wooden figure made by the hands of monks and representing the Virgin Mary. On closer scrutiny, it appeared that the forefoot of the body was stuck full of extremely sharp nails and small, narrow knife blades, with the points turned toward the spectator. The arms and hands were jointed, and the machine behind the partition set the figure in motion. One of the servants of the Inquisition was compelled by command to work the machine, as he termed it. When the figure extended her arms as though to press someone lovingly to her heart, hugged it closer and closer, and when the attendant, agreeably to orders, made the figure unclasp her arms and return to her former position, the knapsack was perforated to the depth of 2 or 3 inches and remained hanging on the points of nails and knife blades. Talking about the person. No wonder the vision of the long 1260 years of persecution of God's people was such a terrifying effect on Daniel. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale. From 539 to 1799, the saints were relentlessly persecuted during the 1260 years in which the papacy persecuted the true church. The Bible was also suppressed. The period of persecution and suppression was long and wearing. 7-year tribulation, a Jesuit fabrication. A thorough search through a Bible concordance, preferably an exhaustive concordance, will reveal not a single verse of Scripture mentioning a 7-year tribulation, not one. The only other possibility for construing a 7-year tribulation is piecing two back-to-back 1260 days or 3.5-year periods, which would then equal 7 years. But the only place, Revelation 11, 2 and 3, where 1260 days are mentioned in two succeeding verses, does not justify a 25, 20-day or 7-year tribulation. all exponents of the pre-tribulationist and are the futurist school readily concede that verses 2 and 3 of Revelation 11 are concurrent. They refer to events during the same 1260-day period. They cannot be added together to make 7 years. So it makes it look like the book of Revelation may be actually talking about the past 6,000 years and not just today. While the scriptures prophesy a great tribulation which will conclude the age, they do not describe a 7-year tribulation. The concept of 7-year tribulation was a convenient invention of the Catholic Jesuits, which Protestants had bought. The 1260 days obviously are symbolic of years which occurred during the Christian age. The combined testimony of the following scripture citations is conclusive. Now he goes through all the years of the little horn and the papal power for 1260 days. The little horn wore out the saints. Okay. And I'm not going to read all of that, but he brings all of that out. So, more convincing evidence. Four characteristics by which the man of sin are identified are summarized in Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. The first two points have already been considered, namely the preposterous words by which popes claim to be as God in the wearing out of the church, true church, by papacy. Additionally, the papacy did change times. Unwilling to await the unfolding of God's plan, papacy changed the time of Christ's kingdom by declaring papacy rule over the nations as God's kingdom on earth. Another example of papacy attempting to change times is in its changing of the calendar. Now, we saw the guy that came up with we have actually supposed to have 13 months. Yeah. How did papacy also change laws? The precepts and commands of God meant little. By the claimed right of issuing dispensations, the popes frequently set aside the moral laws. Murder of heretics was called praiseworthy. Subjects were encouraged to rebel. Oaths and contracts were canceled. Torture was declared to be an act of faith. Spying, intrigue, perjury, and theft were pronounced. Virtuous deeds were performed in the service of the church. Not content, that's what the Jesuits did. Anyone who did not ascribe to their doctrine, they'd rip the baby's mothers out of their wombs and bash their heads on rocks. They weren't fit to live. No contact, moreover, is dispensing with divine laws. The popes were always ready to create new ones if convenience so required. Clergy celibacy was prescribed. Meat was forbidden for centuries on Fridays. Ecclesiastical taxes were levied, and often personal liberties of the people were forbidden. Papacy's rationale for changing divine law is pointedly reflected in the following quote from a Catholic authority. The Pope is of great authority and power that he can modify, declare, or interpret the divine law. The Pope can sometimes contradict the divine law by limiting, explaining, etc. But no individual, even a pope, qualifies as the man of sin, the Antichrist. All the characteristics and actions of the little horn of Daniel unmistakably brand the papacy as the great Antichrist system. All right. I want to read Revelation 13 to you. This is the Antichrist, the Pope. This is that Antichrist system. Get me a drink here. Starting with verse 11. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. When I was doing the study and I was looking at some of the end time ministries stuff on the Pope, he goes into detail about the reviving of the Holy Roman Empire. which the Holy Roman Empire always had a political leader and a pope. So that's Rome, see? We talked about Rome. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as that would worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, but the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. All right. I'm going to read this to you, and next week I'll read the other article that goes into detail about this. But this is how a day can equal a year. These are just some scriptures that are in the Bible about a day as a year, you know, how God uses those kind of things, or a thousand years even. All right, the fact that a day can signify a year is of crucial importance in the study of Bible numbers. Steve Gregg, in his parallel commentary on the four main Protestant views of Revelation, lists a number of outstanding theologians who have held the historicist view. The historicist reviews the book of Revelation as a survey of the whole church history. I agree. That's what I agree. Personally, I find that all four views complement one another. Well, anyway, I think it's the whole history. I don't think it's just now. Yeah, okay. Concerning the historic view, Greg says a unique characteristic of this line of interpretation is its advocacy of what is called the year for a day principle. He lists the following among the adherents of the historical view: John Wycliffe, John Knox, William Tyndale, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Ulrich pronounce that name, you wouldn't know it anyway. Philip Melanchthon, Sir Isaac Newton, Jan Hus, John Fox, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, Charles Finney, C.H. Spurgeon, Matthew Henry, Adam Clark, Albert Barnes, E.B. Elliott, H. Groton Guinness, and Bishop Thomas Newton. All right, Bible numbers. A day can equal a year. The following are examples of a day representing a year in the Bible. A day for each year in the account of the 10 spies returning with a bad report to Moses about the promised land after spying it out for 40 days. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 days and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. All right, I've already read Ezekiel to you. Ezekiel is told to lie on his side 390 plus 40 days, a day for each year. Okay. The law of Moses commands that the seventh day be a day of rest, and that likewise the seventh year be a year of rest. This lays a pattern for very important prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. Right here, Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks, the 490 days. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That's Daniel 9, 24 through 27. I will have to say this about, I have a King James Bible that has the Apocrypha in it. And I don't know how many books are in there, but just think about the book that we finally have today has 66 books. That's the number of man. And think about the Antichrist mark, 666. So I don't know how many of the books, they were in the King James Version. As far as I'm concerned, they should have remained in the King James Version. and they are not. And those are the books that I usually look at and get information from because I believe they need to be in there. They were at one time. I have the Bible. I can prove it. It's in this Bible. I think it's the 1611 or something like that, King James Version. The week referred to here represents primarily a symbolic seven-year period. Thus, once again, one day is made to signify one year. Here's why Daniel's week denotes 7 years. This vision of chapter 9 came to Daniel upon his understanding that the 70 years of Israel's exile, as prophesied by Jeremiah, had just elapsed. Yeah, they were in exile 70 years. In the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. That's Daniel 9:2. It is reasonable to deduce that since the occasion for Daniel's vision was his understanding of the 70 years of Jeremiah, that since the vision to Daniel concerned a like number of 70 weeks, therefore 70 weeks can equal 70 plus 7 be years. Nevertheless, Daniel's week, as a literal seven-day period, is also a valid interpretation. Both days and years weave together. 70 literal weeks would not be enough time to accomplish all the things mentioned as having to transpire within the scope of Daniel's 70 weeks vision. For this reason, most evangelical scholars view the 70 weeks of Daniel as symbolic years. The Hebrew term for weeks is actually the plural of the word for seven, without specifically whether it is days, months, or years. It says, Daniel's 7 weeks, 49 days, can be understood symbolically as 49 years because of its similarity with the 7 weeks, 49 days, till Pentecost. And the 7 weeks of Pentecost follows the patterns of the 7 times 7 years, 49 years of the Jubilee. See, 50 is Pentecost, Jubilee. Dividing to the last week of the 70 weeks is further explained in Daniel 12:9, where the 1290 days is mentioned. One half dividing of 1 week of 7 years accounts to this 1290 days. Okay. 1 week must symbolize years in order to half a week to total 1290 days instead of a literal 3.5 days. A fuller treatment of 1290 shall be explained elsewhere, but for now, please note the following. The 390 plus 40 days equals 430 days, years of Ezekiel mentioned earlier, or exactly one-third of 1,290 days. The time for when Ezekiel was told to lay on his side 430 days, symbolizing the siege of Jerusalem in 593 B.C., to the end of the literal siege of Jerusalem, 586 B.C., are 7 full years, or 3.5 years, plus 3.5 years. The total siege length of Ezekiel's symbolic siege of 390 days plus 40 plus the 945 days of the literal siege amounts to 1335 days. That's what's foretold in Daniel, 1335 days. The same figure found coupled with the 1290 days in Daniel 12:9. The fact that there are 1290 years from the entry into Egypt, that's 1876 B.C., which lasted 430 years until the Exodus, 1446 B.C., until the exile back again into Egypt and Babylon at the fall of Jerusalem, 586 B.D., is proof that 1290 days are extended to be years as well. Y'all confused yet? All right. Bible numbers, a day can equal 1,000 years even. The Apostle Peter says that one day is as 1,000 years. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. All right, compare this in context also with Revelation 20. All right, go to Revelation 20. Verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years, were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. All right. Peter seems to be quoting Moses in the book of Psalms. Lord, you've been our dwelling place through all generations. You turned men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. All right, Genesis 2:17, it says, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree, you shall surely die. Is it no coincidence that those who lived before the flood died just short of 1,000 years of age? Methuselah was 969. Thus, figuratively speaking, Adam and all his offspring before the flood died within a day. That's within 1,000 years. He lived one day. Just something to think about. All right, I think I'm... All right, we'll pick up with more of this next week. So do more research. I've got some intel, too.